Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Welcome to another edition of My Darkest Hour Radio. I'm your host, Stefan Brigati, and thank you for joining me on this wonderful Thursday evening. Hope you guys are out there being warm, being safe, whatever it is you need to be. I hope that's what you're doing. So, anyway, I want to give a shout-out to everybody that's been doing the show over the years. Everybody at Live Paranormal. Everybody at Blog Talk Radio, everybody at iTunes, iHeartRadio, History FM, the list goes on and on. A lot of people know that I have that new show coming up. It's coming out on Paraflix. Big question was whether I was going to remain doing the radio show, and I am going to try to continue doing the radio show as long as I can. I know with the TV series, it's going to be kind of crazy, doing a lot of filming and just trying to get the launch for the premiere for this Sunday has been just incredible. I mean, it's just so much work, and you don't realize how much goes into it until you actually have to get involved with that. So, yeah, go ahead. You can download the Paraflix app. You can look at everything on there. It's like Netflix, it's all paranormal, 24 hours a day. So check it out. Right now you can go there and get a good deal on the subscription for the service. It's going to be great. A lot of people are excited. Hope you guys will be excited too and check it out. So tonight my guest is Bill Bean, longtime friend of the show. I tried to get him on a couple of weeks ago having some issues with the system. I just, everything electronic around me lately is just going crazy. I must be just harnessing a lot of extra energy. I just need to chill out a little bit and relax, you know. Too much stress going on, so hopefully that'll take care of it. But it's going to be great to bring Bill on the show. A lot of you who know Bill, he's very popular, been on the show a few times. He's also known as a spiritual warrior. For those of you who are new to Bill, Bill is a world-renowned exorcist. He's a spiritual minister. He does a lot of great work helping people, 50 other countries. I mean, that's incredible, besides America. It's just traveling all the world, making it happen. He's an international known author as well. You can go and find some of his books. You can actually go to Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, at BillJBean.com. I definitely recommend you guys go log in and check that out right now as we're going to bring him on the show right now, and we do an interview with him. So you guys can follow along exactly what we're talking about. You guys have seen him on a lot of different episodes on the Travel Channel, you know, Ghost Nation, of course, on the Holder Files. You know, we've gotten a few episodes on Haunting. So check it out. Go ahead and lock into that, and you guys can come along on our adventure, and let's go ahead and bring Bill on the show.
Thank you, my brother. It's great to be back with you, and it's always great to be on with you, and we've overcome the obstacles of a couple of weeks ago.
That was crazy. I couldn't believe that. I was, like, so ready, and then everything was just fighting me, and this little warning message kept popping up. It's like, oops, oops. I'm like, really? That's kind of day it is, huh? But we're here now.
That's right.
Happening, so this is great to talk to you. It's good to hear your voice.
Same here, and congratulations on what you have going on there. Sounds like you're going to be a very busy guy, so congratulations, fantastic, and I certainly hope that everything goes well for you and as smoothly as possible.
I appreciate that. It should be, it's exciting stuff. You know, it's new territory for a lot of places and a lot of things. There's never been a dedicated streaming service yet for the paranormal, and this is all paranormal all the time, 24 hours a day. So it's pretty
wow.
fun. But it is a lot
you were
of work,
already
though,
a busy
you know?
Guy. Now you're really going to be busy.
I know. My wife thinks I'm insane. Every single day is something going on.
Well, that's
hey,
a good
life,
thing.
Life is short, so I got to get things accomplished.
You were just, you know, took the words out of my mouth. So it's, for me, it's better to be busy than not. And so good
exactly.
for you. And I'm sure everything will go great for you. And just continue to move forward like you do.
Awesome. That's what I'm going to do. So how's you been?
Super busy. It's always busy. My travel was nonstop for over 6 years. And then when COVID came, that put a curb in the travel, and I significantly reduced the travel. However, I just started doing my sessions via Skype or Zoom or phone, however I can. That continues, and boy, I'll tell you, Stefan, it's just amazing. People reach out to me from all over the world, and I'm thankful to God that he works for me to help people. It's nothing that I do. I don't claim to be anything special, just a vessel that God works through to help people.
That's right. And if God can keep you busy, he's going to do exactly that.
Oh, yeah.
Getting to the people, you know?
Exactly. Now I have the new book out, Stranger Than Fiction 2, and that's receiving great reviews so far. We released it on Coast to Coast on the 18th of February. And it's been amazing. You know, people love it. You know, a lot of the reviews I get are that they start reading, they can't put it down. And that's when you know, when somebody's telling you that they, you know, when they grab a book and they just can't put it down, it gives you a good feeling that you have something there that people are really interested in.
Absolutely. And that's the Stranger of Fiction book is now available on Amazon.
Yes.
You got to type that in if you guys want to look at that. You can also go to his page
and
his book,
copy,
you can link to it.
If people want a signed copy, they can visit my website, philjbean.com, there's a button there. There's a pay button there, a PayPal button, and they can order from there. If they want me to, you know, personally sign the book and personally send it out, I'll do that. So so either way, you know, either Amazon or my website option.
Excellent. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the past, your history. People that are tuning in that want to know a little bit more about you, tell them how you got to the path where you started going this direction.
Yeah, what a journey it's been. And you know, Stefan, I couldn't be where I'm at right now in helping others had I not been there. It was necessary for me to be there to experience those things. And they were horrific things, believe me. My childhood, my family were destroyed by demonic forces, and I nearly was as well. But again, God, I feel God had put a calling on my life even before I came into this world to be a spiritual warrior and to help people. And so if that's the case, well, then it was necessary for me to suffer in that way. So I was 4 years old when we moved into to that house, and I say that house. It was a house located in Glen Burnie, Maryland, in a community called Herondale. And the house was located at the bottom of a downhill cul-de-sac, and it had a very long and deep ravine that stretched several miles. It was behind the house. And my first recollections, I was 4, my sister was 13, and we were both frightened the first time that we saw the house. It stood in front of the house. It just had a very ominous look and feel. It was semi-dilapidated. So my father, being senior, was a master carpenter, and he saw it as a restoration project, which he did. He did quite a bit of work to it, made it look nice, but it just from the beginning, I knew something was very, very, at the age of 4, I shouldn't have been feeling that, but I knew something was very, very wrong. And my mother, Patricia Bean, was the first to have an experience in the house, and it took place shortly after moving in. She was in the living room unpacking and organizing, and my dad had taken us, have an older sister, Patty, younger brother Bobby, he had taken us with him for the day to my grandparents, his parents' house, the Beans, to allow my mother some time to focus on what she was doing, unpacking and organizing the house. And it was during the course of that she felt a presence come into the room. And she thought that it was my dad. She really thought that it was my dad sneaking back in and played a joke on her, that she spun around fully anticipating on seeing him, and to her shock, you know, nothing was there. So as you can imagine, she was unnerved, frightened, perplexed, all of those things, and was eventually able to go back to doing what she was doing. And then shortly after that, one of the bedroom doors slammed shut. It was my sister's room, the last room at the end of the hallway on the left. It slammed shut by itself, and that was enough to make her go outside and wait until we returned. So that's where it began. Then it gradually escalated into more of these types of paranormal, supernatural events, and then further escalated into violent physical attacks on my family from these demonic entities.
Wow, that's terrifying, moving into a place and just trying to get settled, because you just uplifted and rerouted. So everything's kind of, you know, stressful and confusing, trying to get that stuff situated.
Yeah.
And then right away, this thing's letting you know, hey, this is my house. You know, we have control, and trying to, you know, scare your sister out of the house. I mean, whatever that's all about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, I didn't know this until after I'd written the first, I've written 8 books, and the first one is Dark Force, talking about the family story. And I didn't realize there was more to the story. You know, after I'd written the book, I found out that there was more to the story. And what I found out was, through a relative, and most of my family's gone, they've passed on, but I have a few left, and one of my relatives revealed to me that supposedly, and I have no way of proving this, but I do believe what my relative said, that as far back as maybe 100 years ago, there were family members that actually did some type of ritual summoning that summoned demons. So this, if it's true, perhaps that's the origins of it right there, that the doorway was open through invitation and invocation. And so this came onto the family and created a variety of destruction, tragic deaths and tragic circumstances, you know, you name it. So then I found out that my mother and her family had moved around quite a bit as a child. And at one point, they actually lived in that very area, Herondale. So she had pre-exposure to the area before anybody else. So I feel, you know, if that is true, which I have no reason to doubt it, if it's true, then perhaps my parents were led back to that area where evil was already present and manifest, and you had evil on the family. So I said it was a perfect storm of evil coming on two fronts. You know, again, evil that was invited in, that came upon the family, and then the evil that was present and manifest in the area, in that house, and other homes as well. And this is another thing I found out, you know, after I'd written the first book, and I talk about it again. I think it was my fifth book, Dark Force Revisited. I added additional content, you know, the additional content that I'm telling you now and some other content. I found out that many of the other houses were being affected as well. And I found out through people that contacted me that I knew, you know, way back then, and they were telling me their stories that were taking place in their homes. And furthermore, I went back in, I want to say probably 2015, 2016, to several homes in that very community of Herondale as a spiritual warrior, binding and rebuking and casting out demonic forces by the power of God out of those homes. So just amazing, Stefan, how this has all played out. And so, again, I think I am firmly convinced that there was an evil that was conjured up that came on the family. And those evil forces led my parents to that house where evil was already present and manifest in the home and in the area.
That's crazy. Almost some kind of I don't know how you say that. You know, like a legacy kind of thing. Something happened.
Yeah, like a bloodline. Bloodline curse. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly that. It's like the continuance of that story. I mean, that's basically a movie right there.
Well, you know, I've signed two movie options in the past. The first one was in 2008, and the financial crisis came, and that put a stop to that because the studios no longer had any operating money, and that was going to come out through Gold Circle Lionsgate. It was the same company that did Haunting in Connecticut, Carmen Reed's story, and then the second option I signed, it's a shame. It's a shame it didn't happen. And the second option I signed was in 2012, and everything seemed to be in place. And then once again, the financing fell, and the financing just dropped out of the project, and then that was the end of it. So I did have two chances for it to be a movie. Oh, actually a third. This is very sad. I was on Coast to Coast one night, and this was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I was contacted. So I'm a regular on there. Yeah, I'm on there with them every couple of months. And so we were on the show, and I was contacted afterward by a producer, and he wanted to do something with it. Unfortunately, he died. He died from cancer. And so those were the three chances that, you know, we had to get it into a movie, and it just never materialized for various reasons, and it is what it is. But thankful that I was able to write the books. I'm also thankful to A Haunting as well, because they're the ones who put me on the map. Without A Haunting, nobody would know who I am. And so they aired my story. They approached me in December of 2005, and I don't even know how they got wind of my story, but they approached me, and we had a back-and-forth dialogue. I ended up doing the show, and it aired on September 7, 2006, and just amazing, Stefan. That show reached an international audience. They're still showing it to this day. It's one of the most shown and rebroadcast episodes in the history of that series. And so between that and Coast to Coast, that's what put me on the map. And that, as you know, since then, A Haunting featured me in 8 other episodes from my case files. So I kept a real good rapport with them, and have a very good friend that's a producer over there at New Dominion, Trisha Dozier. And, you know, we've kept in contact, and it's amazing how they brought me back into, I'm the only person in the history of that series that had a reoccurring role in there in these different episodes. And it's just amazing. And I heard from them again recently. They're being picked back up. And so look forward to doing some work with them in the future.
That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you got these, all these intense stories, so they're going to be the ones you're going to want to let them know what you got, because you cover some really heavy heavy hauntings and stuff. It's not like regular, oh, I'm going to investigate this house because grandma comes to visit on the weekends, but you're dealing with some heavy-duty stuff.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I lived it. And, you know, as a child at the age of five in 1971, regular demonic, physical demonic attacks started on me, you know, at age five and quite a few years. And even still was having problems all throughout my teen years and into my adult years. And my mother, who suffered more than any other person I've ever seen in my life, she suffered many regular physical attacks. And my dad, who was a good man, who made some horrible choices, unfortunately, my dad, just their demise alone, Stefan, neither of my parents lived to see the age of 50. And my father was a very good and hardworking family man, but I think, you know, and looking back on it, I feel that he was so confounded because my father was a very strong, you know, he was a man's man, you know. He was used to being in control of every situation. And I think he suddenly found himself in a situation that he could not control. My parents believed in God, but we never attended church as children, so there was no faith-based structure in the home. And that led him, and I'm not making excuses for him because we're all responsible for our actions. However, when we make some bad choices, the devil and his demons will be there to aid and abet in that. And I think that's what happened. And he unfortunately turned to the bottle and went down the downward spiral of alcoholism, which transformed him into a raging alcoholic who started regularly physically abusing my mother between the years of 1973 and 1975, nearly killed her on several occasions. I can recall being 8 years old, having to run out of the house to a neighbor's to get the police called on my father. It was terrible. So also believe, I have no doubt about this, that while under the influence of alcohol, these entities were able to fuel his rage towards my mother. And so I've said it before, and it's worth repeating, that when people are under the influence of alcohol and or a drug, their frequency and vibration is lowering, and they're wide open for demonic attack. So we must all be very, very careful. And so after he left us in 1975, my mother came into regular physical attacks from these demonic entities, and it had gotten so bad that she couldn't even sleep in her bed anymore. She had to sleep in with my brother and I. So I'll give you a quick layout of the house. Again, just imagine it being, you know, on this downhill, like horseshoe type of thing, cul-de-sac, and you would walk in through the front door, and the first thing you would see is like this coat closet, two wooden doors that were sliding wooden doors, and then you would come into the living room area, and it was very dark in that house, and it was dark brown paneling on the walls that almost looked black, so it was always very, very dark in the house, even on the brightest of days, and you could feel it. You could feel the when evil is present and manifest, there's an atmospheric change. You can feel it in the frequency and vibration. Every air is heavy. Sometimes a person's ears will ring. And then it can be accompanied by the feelings of presence or just awful smells of sulfur and could be feces or rotted flesh, whatever it may be. There's a variety of smells that accompany that. And that's what it was. I mean, you could just feel it. And so you'd come into the living room. You'd make a right down a long hallway, and that's where the bedrooms were located. And the hallway had this hard tile on the floor. And oftentimes, I recall, laying in bed and hearing these heavy footsteps coming down the hallway. It's as if someone was wearing boots or very hard-soled shoes, and it would reverberate off of the paneling in the hallway. And I shared the first room on the right with my brother. And my bed was closest to the door, his closest to the window. And my parents' room was the next room down on the right. And then my sister's room was right across the hallway, left room on the left. And I do believe, Stefan, that room, my sister's room, was the main portal for the activity. And I feel that tied in from a side window that went into her closet that also tied in with the linen closet at the end of the hallway. This was a huge portal, the main portal in the home. And so my sister, you're right, she left home very early. She left home in 1973. And it wasn't long after that, you know, she'd suffered an attack. She was the first one to suffer a physical attack. And so it wasn't too long after that that she met a young man in the neighborhood and ran off with him. Now, the haunting episode painted it as a happy send-off. Nothing could be further from the truth. She ran away in the middle of the night. And, you know, the house is in Maryland. They went to Virginia and got married. And my father, you know, both my parents were frantic, but my father was not happy at all. So TV is what it is. But I'm glad that I was able to tell the accurate story through the book and then doing interviews like this. So she got out of there. And so she was the first, you know, to be out of there by 73, and then my father was out by 75. So it was just my mom and brother and I left in the house, and we went through hell. I mean, literally, we went through hell. And I didn't realize how bad it was until I sat down to write that first book. And I had to go back and revisit and relive some of those things, and it was difficult. It was not easy at all, and I had to rely on my faith to be able to get through it, to write that book. And even as I was writing it, bizarre things were happening. I remember a friend that printed out the manuscript for me, and it all started printing backwards. And it just all these crazy things that were happening before I got that book out there. And at that point in time, I was not the spiritual warrior. I was still finding my way, and I was just a guy with a story to tell. And it wasn't until I started to really strengthen my faith that God put this calling on my life. And my wife and I had got baptized, I think it was in 2008, something like that. And that's where everything started to change, because I developed real faith and desired a real relationship with God, you know, inviting Jesus Christ in. And that's when it all started to change. So the closer that I drew to God, the closer he drew to me, and more blessings were coming into my life. And then I felt this calling. And I resisted it at first because I thought, how could someone like me be a help to anyone? You know, back to the house again, you know, after going through such hellish things, which we finally, at that point in time, I think it was by the end of 78, my mother had a new man in her life, and he loved her very much and wanted to marry her. But my mother was in very poor health as well. She suffered the entire time health-wise. She had suffered from high blood pressures, which led to a series of strokes, which ultimately led to kidney failure. So we ended up leaving there. We had a priest involved as well for the last 16 months that we lived there. My family and I were not Catholic, but my step-grandfather was, and he went to his church, and they sent a priest out, and I really appreciated it. And so he was involved for the last 16 months that we lived there. We, after waking up one day and smelling the pungent odor of burning wires, every appliance in the house that was plugged in, it burned up at the same time. And one of the pets that my brother had was found dead on the same day. That was finally enough for my mother to say enough. We couldn't endure it anymore, and we ended up leaving there. We left a lot of the contents there. We took our personal things, and we moved with her fiance Richard. Ended up moving in with him, but it wasn't long after that that two tragedies occurred. First off, my beloved grandmother Dora Harvey, my mother's mother, died of a sudden series of heart attacks at the age of 64, and then 2 months later, my beloved mother Patricia Bean died from a cerebral hemorrhage at the age of 44. So those were the two closest people to me in my life. They were suddenly gone. I had a premonition about their death. I wrote about it in Dark Force Revisited. And I had to grow up very quickly. I quit school in the eighth grade. I lied about my age. I went to work for a construction company, and I was a skinny, undernourished kid that was suddenly thrown into a world working with some hardcore men. And that made me a hardcore man. And I made a lot of mistakes. I could write a 500-page book on the mistakes I've made in life. I drank, I did drugs, I was violent, did a lot of things that I'm ashamed of. And through it all, I've been in many life-threatening situations as well. I got into the bar business. I worked as a bar bouncer for 22-plus years to write a book just on those experiences alone. So I have seen the worst of the worst. I have been in the deepest and darkest places in my life and on the behalf of others. And through it all, God has not only kept me safe and spared my life, he's worked through me to help others. So I brought that a long way around about, you know, how could God work through somebody like me? And I really thought that because of my lack of education, because of the long and hard roads that I'd been down. But then I came to understand it, that this is what God does. He chooses the people who suffer the most, the people that have been there. I could be the greatest scholar in the world, but if I've never had the personal experience, how do I relate to the person that's coming to me for help? I can't. There's no way to relate. So it all makes sense to me. And I look back on it now, and though I wish there were some things that I could change, and if I could go back in time, believe me, I would change them, especially when it comes to the suffering of my mother. But I can't. So what I have to do now is say, praise God. I'm thankful that he's called me to do this work, that he works through me to help people. And, you know, even those bad experiences, I understand it was for a reason.
That's an amazing story. I mean, that's so much going on there. Do you think that the things that were happening to the family are related to the evil that was brought in from other members of the family?
Yeah, well, I think that it was like we go back talking about that family bloodline curse, you know, and it's, I'm certain that that's what happened by that invitation and invocation from those family members way back when. So then you have that original evil that's on the family. And I think that those demonic forces led us to a place where evil was already present and manifest. It was like the perfect storm. So you're thrown into evil on two fronts, and it was all about destroying the family, and it did. It absolutely did. And so, again, neither of my parents lived to see the age of 50. My mother was gone by 44. My father was shot to death at the age of 48. And many other family tragedies as well. You know, I have very little family left. So, you know, they did a good job of destruction. And I just praise God for really stopping the cycle and stopping that that curse. And, you know, as I grew into who I am now, by the power of God, I did take power and authority over that, declared that curse broken and any other curses, hexes, vexes, and spells that might be associated with it. And so, you know, I'm happy to tell you that in my personal life, by the power of God, my life is 50 times more blessed than it's ever been cursed. I can never thank God and praise God enough for that. I wouldn't trade my life with anybody's life on this planet, and I thank God for it.
That's awesome. Thank God. That's an amazing thing, you know.
It's just all about enduring. I mean, if people who go to the Bible and open up the book of Job, you know, you see that Job went through hell, and he had, and he kept his faith, and God rewarded him twofold. So I don't claim to be Job, but I can tell you that I've had Job-like experiences starting in childhood, and God has rewarded me greatly on the other side of that, and he continues to do so, and I thank him and praise him for it.
Absolutely. You know, it's like you were tested right away, and you went through this horrible, and you come out through it surviving, you know. At the same time, you're living your life and you're doing all the things that you said that you've been through, and you come out a survivor still. You know, it's like you passed this test, and God said, see, that's the guy. I told you he can do this. Watch him. And then you take on that role. You now you're stronger, and you're out there giving that love of God has passed through you onto others to help others, to protect others. And hopefully they become like you have and continue that work, that whole wave continues.
Yeah. I call warrior mode, brother, and warrior mode is faith, strength, and courage. So it's easy to say those words, but when you're in something really bad, it's difficult to grasp those words because when going through something that has high levels of trauma, you get into a mindset, and I know I was in it for many years. It's fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living. Your mind becomes conditioned to that, and so you accept that as normal. Even though it's a horrible way to live, you accept it as normal because it's the familiar place, and people have trouble. Now, Stefan, I've lost count of the people that I've helped, you know, God working through me. It's probably in the low thousands worldwide. And a lot of these people, it's very difficult for them, and I understand it because it was difficult for me. Some, I have performed these exorcisms and deliverances over, and they never have another problem. They go on, they have a good life and blessings, but others, they struggle. And I struggled too. It was two steps forward and three steps backward. Why? Because of being in that mindset. You wait. Your mind is so conditioned to those things happening, even though something great has just happened and God has delivered the person, they still have in their mind, yeah, but what if it comes back? So automatically, they're going back to the fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living, so it is difficult. And some of those people I have helped three, four, five times or more, and some went on, you know, after that, they finally were able to make that transition and allow God to make the transformation in their life, and others still struggle to this day. So all I can do is be there for them, and I try to be. Believe me, I'm like a man trying to push fire out with a garden hose, but I'm doing the best that I can do. By the power of God. And I tell people, you know, I'm there for them. And so that's part of me being so busy as well, that there are some of these people that do send the reoccurring messages. And what I do is I have monthly sessions with people like that. So I have monthly follow-up sessions, you know, on top of the new cases. So it is very busy and very hectic. But you know what? It's a blessing. I praise God for it. And it's something that I know that he called me to do.
Amen, man. That's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen out there, you're listening to My Darkest Hour. My guest tonight is the spiritual warrior, Mr. Bill Bean, and we're talking about his incredible story about the things that he had to go through as a child and growing up through life, basically, to overcome obstacles and to be exactly where he is now, a much more powerful person in helping others. Once again, you can go to his website and learn a little bit more at BillJBean.com. And, of course, the amount of the books that you have, which are all great stories, and people can go through that and spend a lot of time going through there.
Thank you, brother. I want to have you in there. I want to have you in the part three when we get to part. I've already got the vision for the Stranger Than Fiction 3, and I certainly want you to want one of your stories in there as a contributor to the book. And so I already got the wheels turning for that one.
Excellent. I would love to do that because I there's so many great stories I can tell too, because that's what it's about, you know, helping those people.
Fantastic.
And being for them and empowering them, you know, and giving them strength, you know.
So when we share the human experience, it is empowering because people certainly, you know, in my case, everything that I went through, people could see, wow, if God would help that guy and transform his life, why can't he do it for me? And he will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad that happens. And it's one of those things that you're amazed by, you know, like to be able to have that power and the strength to help people with the power of God flowing through you to push back all that darkness, to clean it out, you know, that flamethrower effect that works
exactly
for you. And sometimes I think, you know, why I try to do this for people and give and help them push and heal their life. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I'm just a vessel and I totally suck as a person. I'm a sinner. I've done this and that. And God still says, hey, you're going to go help these people. You check it out. I'm right here. And you do it. And it just comes naturally through you. And it's an incredible experience. And it's good to be able to show that and share that with other people as well.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I, again, it's something I never thought in a million years that I would do something like that. You know, once I was free from all of it, and it took me a long time to be totally free from it. And once I was free, that would be the last choice for me, is to go back in and, you know, engage demonic forces again after finally being freed from it. But I completely understand why God called me to do it. And even from the first time that I went to help a family, and I studied for 4 years in serious biblical studies, historical studies. Nobody taught me how to perform an exorcism or deliverance. That was something that God totally walked me through. And but yet the first time that I went, and then I became an ordained minister, and after that, a non-denomination, and after that I, you know, went out and just finally started helping people. And I remember the first family that I helped, they had a severe demonic problem, and it was in Maryland. And I knew for the first time that I set foot in the house, I, of course, I could feel the presence of evil, but also I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God really had called me to do this work. And it's the greatest feeling, certainly for me, to know what your purpose is in life.
Absolutely. It drives you, too. It helps you push through things with your life, you know, get like on a direction. It just continues. You're kind of along this path, and this path is leading you. So you're kind of on a ride to this journey. It's an incredible thing.
Yeah. You're exactly right, and my life was transformed, and I say this to people all the time. I've given well over 2,000 interviews in my career, and if you've heard one, maybe you've heard them all, in the sense that I always give praise and thanks to God, never any credit to myself. I guarantee you, you'll hear that in every interview. And also, I tell people that, you know, I was transformed from victim to victor, and that's by the power of God. And so God will do his part. We have to do our part as well, and our part is very difficult. There are people that, and I find this, Stefan, that the most common threat, not in all the cases, but in a lot of the cases, the most common threat is that child molestation had taken place, or violent rape, or some type of violent high trauma assault or situation. These demonic forces look for, and they, of course, aid and abet in a perpetrator who's already demon-filled that would commit such a wicked and heinous act against a child or a person. Then, unfortunately, when that wicked and heinous act takes place, blood and secretions are released out of the pineal gland and the adrenal glands. And demons are drawn to that. They eat it up like candy. They love it. So they will, of course, they're filling and fueling the perpetrator, but then they will go on to the victim, because now you have this release of this substance that they love. And through that high level of trauma, these fractures have taken place, and there are openings for them to go in and attach to that person. And usually, unfortunately, it will not leave the person until someone like me comes along, God working through me, an agent for God, getting that garbage out and off and away from them. We could spend a whole show of me just telling you some of these horrific stories from my case files of people that have been, you know, assaulted as children and who live with that and carried that with them for so many years. And some were ready to commit suicide. And some were flipping the TV channels and just happened to see me on one of those shows. And then they reached out for help, and God worked through me to help them and spared their life. And not only spared their life, helped them to move forward and leave all that garbage behind, literally by the power of God, having it taken, and then going on to have a quality of life after that. That's the greatest feeling in the world, to know that God actually worked through me to help someone to be free from that and then move forward to go on and have a good life.
Absolutely, and that's an amazing thing that you said right there. They're flipping through the channels and they see you on TV. You know, that's another conduit of connection, you know, put you in this position and got you on TV. So at the same time, you're still helping reach out to all these people. It's an amazing just continuance. It's incredible.
It is amazing, and I praise God for it, and I'm thankful. And, you know, I've had I've been attacked
about
by the Christian organizations, you know,
Exorcist,
like the seven.
You know, the things that you have to do in current day. How do you go about approaching something like that?
Well, people with processes, people, they'll make contact somehow, whether that's through email, text or phone, whatever it is. I have to keep my ringer off because so many people call now, and I'm always getting back to people. But I have assistants as well, Melinda and other assistants that assist me with getting back to the people, and then we get them booked. So the first thing is, you know, when they reach out for contact, and they, again, can go right on BillJPean.com, and they fill out the contact form, including what's going on. You know, they tell their story, and then we get back to them. And then we get them scheduled. And when we're getting them scheduled, you know, I have to prepare for that. You know, I of course, I know the information because I've read the information that they've submitted. And that just requires a lot of prayer and concentration. And though I say that it is a preparation, and sometimes a fasting as well, though I say that it is a preparation, it is also very automatic for me. At the same time, because it's like anything else, you know, repetition, it just becomes automatic. So I do have certain things that I will do and say in every exorcism, yet will guide me slightly differently per person. And that will come to me as an automatic guidance in knowing what to say or what to do in that situation, so that I'm totally led by God in that. So I always, and look, do I claim to be perfect? No, I am not, nor do I claim to be, but I can assure you of this. I try to do the best that I can do, and I try to be the best that I can be every single day of my life, because I've got to be somebody to somebody every day. So I've got to be at my best, and the only way that I can be at my best is to really keep God first in my life, and I do that. My day starts with God. My day ends with God. Most of the time, my day doesn't end until 5 a.m. or even 6 a.m. before I get to sleep, and it is just an automatic thing now, in the way that I go about things and the way I go about my life. But when it comes to the exorcism, spiritual deliverance aspect of it, I have to allow God to give me holy discernment to guide me for each person. Even though I have a set way for everybody, there are additional things that God will put on me for each person.
Awesome. You're exactly that, a spiritual warrior. Let's see.
What it's just about, amazing.
Well,
stuff
we only have – what's that?
It's just amazing. It really is. When I look back on some of the cases and some of the things that have taken place, I mean, I have – I can't imagine if there's anything that I haven't seen or experienced as well. But I have – seen some severe cases of demonic possession, and where the eyes change. I've seen a person's eyes change from all white to all black. To one case in San Diego, it was like a yellowish green in the pupils and in the eyes, and then the pupils that had like these reptilian slits. And then I had another case, two cases to where they turned all red. And I've seen things that, and experienced things that probably 99% of the people in the world wouldn't even want to have a nightmare about. I have gone into places that looked like they came straight out of a horror film. I went into a place that was, I don't even know how I could describe this to you. It was in a very bad neighborhood, number one. Secondly, when the door opened, the smell knocked me back on my heels. And I went in, and I have never, and I hope I never see another place like that in my life. feces on the walls and the floor, mice and rats and roaches. I mean, it was something straight out of a horror film. I'll never, ever forget that. So I have, I've been into quite a few, and I've had people that tried to stab me. I've had people that tried to shoot me. I've had, you name it. I mean, I was in many life-threatening situations as a young man in the bar business, but then even as a, you know, the spiritual warrior, I've been in these situations in homes that were life-threatening and having to physically engage with people that were trying to, and it wasn't them, it was those demonic forces working through them that were trying to do harm to me. And can you imagine, you know, on the one hand, having to physically restrain a person that has superhuman strength, because when a person's possessed, they have superhuman strength. So it was only by the power of God working through me that I could be any type of agent to subdue them. And at the same time, praying over them and binding and rebuking and casting out these demonic forces. I tell people, and I get those messages from people saying, oh, what you do is so cool, I want to do that. And I say, oh, yeah? Well, number one, you better make sure that it's a calling from God, because if you go on your own accord, you're going to be in big trouble, like those seven sons of Sheba in the Bible. They got torn up. You can only do this by the power of God. And look, if God chooses you and works through you in that way, fantastic, wonderful, that's a blessing. But if you're going because you think that it's cool and you could do this, you're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah. That's the problem. That's the commercialism of the pop culture of the paranormal right now just shows a lot of people doing the paranormal work and making it interesting and scary and fun. So they go into these situations and they're not really prepared for what can really happen, because we call it the unknown for a reason, because you don't know what you're going to get. You know, and they go in there thinking they're just going to go find grandma, the ghost that visits on the weekends, but it's something much more darker. You know, it's more energy than they can handle. They have to go with the power of Christ to push back on that, because it dissipates the darkness's energy. So you have to have that faith, you know?
Stefan, I've seen people levitate. I have seen and heard voices change in people. One lady, I'll never forget that. It took place in 2017. You would never guess. Beautiful home, upper middle class, you know, family area. And yet she was just totally devastated and taken over by these demonic forces. And I, at one point, was casting them out one by one. It had to be, I don't know, upwards of 20 different entities that were in her. And each one would manifest, and I would have to bind and rebuke and cast out one by one right down the line. You want to talk about an exhausting process. I'll never, ever forget it. And when it was over with, I was so overjoyed for her because, man, that was one of the more severe cases of demonic possession that I've been involved in. It was a physical struggle. She had assaulted her husband first. And he was terrified. And he was a military man, you know. But he had never had that type of experience. I mean, it does terrify someone if they never had that type of thing going on. And let's just say that it was an exhaustive experience that went on for a while, and God worked through me to deliver her from that evil. I'm thankful to God for it. But I just remember after it was all over, I was sitting in a diner in New Jersey, and I had my head in my hands, just exhausted, and just prayed for God to recharge me so I could get my vehicle and just go home after that. And he did. He always does. But it's an exhaustive process.
Yeah, you give a little bit of yourself away every single time, and you're just worn out by it. And people think they can go deal with that, but they're not prepared for that. You know, like you said before, when you go into these things, you're preparing yourself, whether it's some kind of blessing, some kind of fasting, you know, some kind of ritual that you prepare yourself physically and spiritually for. People don't understand that normally. They just rush in there thinking they're going to take care of it to make the situation worse, not only for the person living there, but for themselves. So it's great that you can show that to people who have a better understanding of that, who want to know more, and say, well, okay, this guy's an expert. He does it this way. So everyone should be cautious and follow his direction in something like that.
And what I have to do after that is go through the home after that and make sure that there are no demons hiding or lurking in the home after that. I ask God to send his giant warrior angels to come in and carry them off and deposit them back into the pits of hell. And that's where some make mistakes as well, because when they do this binding and casting out, especially in some of the churches, they're not asking God's angels to come in. They're just binding and rebuking and casting out. That means those demons can jump into somebody else. So you got to be very, very careful in how you go about things. Always relying on God and his power and the angels that he will send. So I have to go through the entire home, make sure that everything is clear, you know, that there are no demons hiding or lurking. And then after that, we sit down and we have to put a game plan together for that person's life and moving forward, the do's and the don'ts. And so, again, it is a process.
Absolutely. And it's not stop. You still have to keep an eye over your shoulder because you don't know if they might come back for revenge or something, you know?
So that's where the maintenance aspect comes in, to where these follow-up sessions take place, that we are making sure that we're keeping our foot on top of the devil to where he can't bring an attack again. And another thing that I have to do is close all the portals. So wherever there are portals in the home, could be above the home, below the home, to the sides of the home, you know, on the outside of the home, wherever it may be, you know, I have to rely on God to guide me to those spots, to close them all up. And I always ask that he has a giant warrior angel standing there as that portal is now closed, shut, locked, chained, and padlocked forevermore. And I ask that he has a giant warrior angel to stand there and guard that portal. Now, the bad news is, unfortunately, other portals can open up over the course of time, and certainly the world we live in now. So, again, it's a never-ending fight. It's not that the devil will just go away and everything's good. You know, he's going to continue to try and create problems.
That's what he does. I get it. Bill, thank you so much. We've come to the end of our time, unfortunately. With this kind of conversation, we can go on for hours and hours and hours. You know, it's always so great to talk to you and hear the stories and, you know, just kind of keep up to date. Real quick, for those who might be wanting to learn more about what's going on and follow you, how would they do that exactly?
And I want to thank you again, my brother. It's always great to talk with you and be on with you, and hopefully we can do it again soon. And thank everybody out there for tuning in. And if you're in need, don't hesitate. Visit BillJBean.com, and you can contact me from the website. And if you want to get a copy of Stranger Than Fiction 2 or Dark Force Revisited or any of those books, you can order them from the website. And I just thank you again, Brother Stefan, and thank everybody out there, and God bless all of you.
Thank you so much, buddy. So that's going to be it. Bill, thank you again, and you have a good night, man. And we will definitely do this again soon, because this conversation
Fantastic.
Has to continue.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, right, let's set a date and we'll do it. Thank you, my brother.
All right.
God bless.
All right,
brother.
I'll talk to you soon. All right, that's going to be it for this edition of My Darkest Hour. Thank you guys for tuning in with us. You know, it's always a great conversation we have with Bill. Go ahead and check him out, BillJBean.com. Shout out to my sponsors, Chili Man Salsa Company, making the greatest, most flavorist chili salsa, just all flavor and a little bit of heat behind it. It's fantastic. P-Tech, give a shout out to P-Tech, who's made it into my new episode coming up here on Paraflix on the 21st. Maybe you can go to Paraflix app right now for the streaming service, Paranormal, 24 hours a day. So check it out. Lizzie Wizzy's Crafty Creations, who I do believe her products made it into the into the series as well. So it's going to be great having everybody there. And, of course, Daniel at Daniel's Toy Empire making it happen for us. So that's going to be it. Thank you to everybody at Black Talk and the Live Paranormal. We will see you guys next week. Talk to you guys then. And if you went out investigating, make sure you investigate safe.